Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Good morning, everybody. Again, welcome to Today's Issues. I say good morning to those Central Time Zone West, Eastern Time Zone. It's already the afternoon here on Monday, October the 15th. You're listening to American Family Radio. You can watch the show live and or listen to it at our Facebook or YouTube pages. Just type in Today's Issues. We also have an app that is free to download that makes AFR available anywhere you go, anywhere in the world. As long as you have high-speed internet, you can get AFR, listen to AFR. Folks just go to the Just download the app, Walker, 60 seconds and or so. And
that's right. Download the AFR, or American Family Radio app, on your smartphone, or you can do it on your tablet device.
Okay. Well, take advantage of that. Again, Tim Wildman with Ed Battagliano, Walker Wildman, and Chris Woodward. Fred's out. Chris is in. Tag team in there.
Yeah.
By the way, your name tag's upside down, Chris.
It is. This is a replacement card. I think we talked about this one time before. He brought me the new one and said, the good news is you got a new one. The bad news is printed it upside down.
So, yeah, it's upside down. Talking about this is your name tag / security pass for our building. So we'll know you are who you say you are.
Yes, I am Chris. Yeah. Look at that handsome devil. I didn't have any gray hair back then.
What's your family? You Caucasian too?
I am white Anglo-Saxon Protestant. That's what.
WASP.
Yes.
But
all
I mean,
the way.
What is it? What is I'm being halfway serious.
Okay.
Here, Ed, and I know I'm looking at you because I you know something about this. A Anglo-Saxon such as
Chris Woodward.
You know that for a fact?
Oh yeah, what Woodward is a German name, but my ancestors came here from the UK. I know that for a fact.
Okay. So Anglo-Saxon, would that be the same as Caucasian or different?
No, it's the location in Europe that the Anglo-Saxons came from. They were North Europe. Angles and Jutes, I think, was originally what they were. And then Anglo-Saxons migrated. I think they kind of, you know, Germany, but also to the British Isles.
So we have different types of white people? Is that what
Yes.
you're telling me?
Yes.
So
depending where you're from.
An Anglo-Saxon, quote, white person would be different than a Caucasian.
Well, Caucasian, I think, and as we said in the last segment, this gets a little confusing. Mm-hmm. Caucasian refers to the race, even though the Bible says we're all one race. What they mean is Caucasian is generally speaking white, and so I'm half Italian, half Greek. That's my ethnic background, but I'm Caucasian. This is why Hispanic got split off from Caucasian, if I'm not mistaken.
You'll see a census question every
yes,
once in a while.
That the Hispanic don't have to say that they're Caucasian; they say Hispanic. I believe that's right. I could be wrong, but there are different types of white people. To answer your question, depending on your ethnic and geographical background.
So, would an Anglo-Saxon be different? Would it be comparable to say a Germanic?
I think a person
of Germanic descent, like Chris's family,
that's right. I think the Anglo-Saxons migrated, and I think part of that would be Germany.
Yeah.
There's people out there who probably, maybe I'm wrong on that, I don't know. But
now, I've been told before, too, that sociologically, whatever you supposedly are, generally what they're pointing to is your father's ethnicity and the background. The mother's makeup doesn't always get figured in there.
That's another complication.
Anglo-Saxon
relating to or denoting the Germanic inhabitants of England from their arrival in the 5th century up to the Norman conquest. Norman conquest was
1066,
right. Good.
So, Chris,
you can have me on Trivia Friday.
So Chris is correct. He's saying his family came from Germany originally, went over to the UK.
To England, yes.
To England in a war, maybe?
Well, I don't know if we go that far back, but
they
I
had
know.
Several migrations into England, the British Isles.
I can tell you one thing. If we do this during Share-a-thon, our donations are going to plummet.
Yes.
Are you saying this is boring?
I could look at Walker and tell him he was just bored out of his mind with this talk.
I don't know anything about it, so it's hard for me to chime in. Well,
it is one of the. That's the reason why you see the whole spit on a stick and mail us your DNA stuff is because it's becoming really popular.
I do think this matters more when you get post 50 for a lot of people, Walker. They start looking back at their
but when you're family heritage. 10 generations removed from anything other than Caucasian, it's, you know, how far do you go back?
Well, I'll say this. I've said this before in the air, so please don't turn off, folks. Listen, this is fascinating. Not really, but when I was growing up and dating and getting turned down a lot, okay, so in high school, always asked what your ethnic background was up in New England. So if I was dating a girl, I'd say, well, what's your ethnic background? Well, fast forward, I meet my wife at Bible college. She's from Mississippi. I'm from the Boston area. So I said to my wife, Diane, we were dating. I said, so what is your, what's your background? Mm-hmm. What nationality are you? She looked at me funny. She said, I'm American. And I said, well, no, I mean, where are your parents from? Mm-hmm. She said, the South. She was serious. She said, I'm from the South. And for the first 10 years of our marriage, she did not know what her ethnic background was. She was Southern.
Right.
And so one of the family members did something, and it turns out she was, you know, English and stuff like that, too.
Walker's still bored. Go ahead, Chris.
All right. Well, I just wanted to throw something past
you. Engage Walker over there.
Well, let's begin with this, because it's something happening tomorrow. We've covered it a lot. We'll continue to cover it. There's a couple of filmmakers up in the great state of Minnesota, Carl and Angel Larson. They're owners of Telescope Media Group. They want to get into the wedding industry. The problem is Minnesota has one of those public accommodations law that says if you make wedding videos for some, you got to make them for everybody. So the Larsons, with Alliance Defending Freedom attorneys, are going to court tomorrow at the U.S. Court of Appeals. Basically, they're facing fines and jail time if they don't comply with this law. And they're telling the court, protect our films from government control. This is another case similar to Jack Phillips, Baronelle Stutzman, the two artists out in Arizona, which ADF is representing as well. We are not done hearing about the Jack Phillipses of the world, if that's grammatically correct. These cases will continue. It's happening tomorrow at the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Eighth Circuit. It's a federal court. What happens from that court will determine what people can and can't do and what governments can and can't force people to follow.
And Jack Phillips is being harassed by the state of Colorado even after winning a Supreme Court case.
Back in court again. Steve's followed this, done a couple of stories on us since August. We've got one today from Michael Haverluck, one of the freelance writers we have at onenewsnow.com. You can read more about that. It's the big story at the moment when you go to the website.
The Civil Rights Act of 1964, in that act is a list of things or people that you cannot discriminate against. Religion, race, ethnic background, and there's a few more.
Mm-hmm.
But that's it. And so it doesn't say that you can't discriminate based on their orientation, their sexual orientation,
right,
or whatever. So unless you're, if you want to follow the law, then business owners can discriminate. They can turn down business for people they don't like because of the behavior that they're engaging in.
Correct.
But we've had judges kind of misinterpret that and get it all confused.
I've thought about this before. I sort of lean towards you should be able to do business with anybody you want to and deny business for whatever reason you want to. Maybe I'm wrong on that, but I don't know. If you had a Jewish guy who owned a printing business, and he's Jewish, and the KKK, the Nazi party, or whatever they wanted to go, the skinheads of Nebraska wanted to come into
all four of them.
The skinheads of Nebraska, sounds like a hard rock band, but anyway, they wanted to have a rally, all right? And so they go down to the printing shop, and they said, we want to print some posters here for our rally. Skinheads of, And the owner goes, I can't do that. I'm Jewish and you're anti-Semitic.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to refuse your business. You can go somewhere else to get your posters made for your rally. Now, would you say to that Jewish printer, no, you must print these posters or else be fined or sent to, you know what I'm saying, by the State Civil Rights Commission because you're denying people a right to, you know, you're discriminating against these skinheads.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what would you... So you see what I'm saying here?
Yeah, I would say, this is just off the top of my head, just in terms of you thinking this through, I don't think you should be forced to say something with your business that you disagree with.
Yes.
So I don't think you should be forced to say, I agree with same-sex marriage by forcing me to make a cake, or in your example, by forcing me to print mm-hmm. the stuff.
Right.
I would say it gets dangerous if you say, people, businesses can say, I'm not serving Jews. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
What you are, as opposed to forcing the business to say something with your business.
I just wonder, why would a Jew want to go to a place that doesn't serve Jews?
Well, I mean,
you want to support that?
Like in Nazi Germany, of course, they said, well, we're not serving you anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
then you're talking about people not being able to buy stuff.
I don't know, but in modern day America, with all the options we have and everything like that, I just, you know, it would be the same too. What if you had a, you know, a black owned beverage company, and the KKK wanted to have their rally down at the wherever, and the KKK calls the. Hey, would you provide us our drinks for the afternoon at our rally? Would you say to that black beverage company owner, you must do business with that group? No, you would say no.
Yeah, we're assuming that everyone's the way they think and their worldview is consistent across the board, no matter what the circumstance is. But we know at the left, it's not. It's actually all over the place. But it depends on what's going to move forward their political narrative. And punishing the Christian moves forth their idea of sexual deviancy. You get to do what you want. You're free. It's your own body. Do whatever you want. And a matter of fact, not only you get to do what you want, but the Christians can't show any sign of disapproval. And so
it is inconsistent. To use my examples, for example, if you were to say to me, no, Tim, that Jewish printer or that African-American beverage company owner should not be forced.
Right.
To participate in something they morally disagree with or have a problem with, but the left would say they may agree with me on that, but they would say no. But the Christian must be forced to do the homosexual quote wedding, or either be punished, even though that's inconsistent.
Yeah, they compartmentalize their morals and they take one situation at a time, and whichever situation the outcome forwards their end goal, then they change their morals and their standards based on that situation. So they can say the black business owner shouldn't have to provide drinks for the KKK rally, but then they can go on and 5 minutes later and go, the Christian baker must provide the cake,
or either be
yes.
fined or in
they
prison.
Can argue both of those, and they
because
can argue
basically they've singled out Christianity as their target.
Yes.
Right?
That's the only difference between the two situations.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. This is why the Supreme Court, by the way, matters so much.
Mm-hmm.
You saw that Jack Phillips only won 5-4, right? Or was it 7-2?
It was 7-2, but it was a narrow ruling certain things in the
so,
law.
So,
there was other cases that were 5-4,
mm-hmm.
such as California.
If Hillary Clinton would have won and we'd had more liberal Supreme Court justices, then the Christians would have been forced to do a lot more. We'd have been forced to participate in sin, basically, or else be put out of business.
Mm-hmm.
Or you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. So politics does matter, folks, because guess what? Elections have consequences, which affects everybody in this country and our children and our grandchildren. So next time you run into the pious Christian who says, I don't really involve myself in politics, it's not kingdom work. Well, that's garbage. okay? That's garbage theology right there, because we must care about what happens in our country because it affects our freedoms and our liberties and what we're allowed, you know, what we're able to do to proclaim the gospel message here and abroad. So don't buy into the false piety there. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Well, our good friend Ray Comfort is with us from California. Ray's always got something going on, and he's always, he and his ministry, Living Waters, they get up every day and they try to think of new ways to reach people for Christ and to tell people about Jesus and our need for forgiveness and salvation. And we got something new going on with Ray. Ray, good morning to you.
Good morning to you, Tim.
How are you, brother?
Nice. Really well, thank you.
So you're from New Zealand, right?
Stop it.
So are you still from New Zealand?
I was born there twice.
So you were born again, basically.
That's right.
I just wanted people to know, because I'm not making fun of Ray's accent whatsoever. I'm just telling
you. Wanted to explain it.
I wanted to explain it, and right. So people understand this is not
why he talks funny.
This is not a SoCal accent that we're hearing here. Ray, tell us about your latest project, my friend.
It's called The Fool, but I'm going to have to back up to tell you what it's about. For about 25, 30 years, I've done a parody when I've been teaching Christians and also preaching the gospel, where I'd hold up a Coke can and joke about a Coke can, you know, being formed by accident. Billions of years ago, Big Bang in space, and aluminum crept up the side of a brown, puddly liquid, and it formed itself into a lid and a tab, and then paint fell from the sky and created the Coca-Cola can. I said, that's ridiculous. You know, what sort of idiot would I believe? I don't use that word. To believe that that actually happened by accident. And then I'd hold up a banana, and because that wasn't politically correct to say the word idiot, so please forgive me. The word banana, I'd hold up a banana and say, it's an atheist nightmare. It's got a tab at the top like the Coke can. The contents don't squirt in your face when you pull the tab. It's got perforations on the wrapper, biodegradable. It's curved toward the face. The banana has outward indicators of inward contents, green too early, yellow, just right, black, too late, and I'd make a joke of it. So it's even curved toward the face to make the whole process so much easier. Back in 2004, I think it was, Kirk Cameron and I were making a television program on atheism. He used to be an atheist, and I said, let's do the banana routine. So we did. No big deal. It was a bit flat without an audience, but we just let it slide. And a couple of years later, someone said, you're all over the Internet. And I didn't realize it, but somebody, probably an atheist, had taken the parody, thrown away the Coke can, and just had me doing the banana routine and saying that I believe the banana was proof of God's existence. Made me look like a fool. No big deal. It was just a bump in the road. Until the world's most famous atheist, Richard Dawkins, began doing the parody on a number of television stations or programs and networks and in universities around the world. So I instantly got christened Banana Man and became famous as the atheist idiot celebrity. And it was something I kept quiet for about 10 years, but as it began to grow and atheists began to invite me onto the program because I was such an idiot, and they were surprised they could string a whole sentence together, and something wonderful began to happen. They didn't feel threatened by Banana Man, and they let me stay and they let me preach the gospel. So over the years, I've been able to preach the gospel without exaggeration to literally millions of atheists because of this. And so that's what this movie is about. It's the whole story of Banana Man. And in the middle of it, Penn Jillette, you've heard of Penn Jillette?
Right. Yes.
Very famous atheist from Penn and Teller. He was given a Bible in Las Vegas by a Christian businessman, and it blew him away that the guy was so loving and kind. He actually made a video afterwards and raved about it. And then he said something that was so amazing it made Christian news. In Focus on the Family, Answers in Genesis, he said, look, if you really believe in heaven and in hell, how much do you have to hate somebody not to tell them about it? If you believe hell existed and you can have everlasting life, you know, the time would come if you wouldn't listen that I would tackle you. You'd be like a man on a road where a truck was heading for you. I would tackle you. And he said, this is even more important. And when I saw that video for the first time, it brought tears to my eyes, and I thought, man, I'd love to just give Penn Jillette a hug, because he's an atheist, and he's saying what Christians around the world should be thinking and what preachers should be saying. And I thought, I'd love to meet him and preach the gospel to him. Long story short, was in Washington, D.C. doing an interview with Professor Lawrence Krauss, a very famous atheist, kind of the Richard Dawkins of America, and Penn Jillette showed up for the interview in a hotel in Washington, D.C. And then he followed me down onto the sidewalks of New York, and I was able to thank him for doing that video and share the gospel with him, took him through the commandments, answered his questions, who made God, shared the gospel with him, challenged him to repent. And then I said, I really appreciate how you talked about tackling someone if a truck was heading for you. And this is no exaggeration. Within 5 minutes after me speaking to him, he stepped on the road and was almost killed by a vehicle. And he even talked about it on his podcast the next day and said it was so close to getting killed that the truck hit the pant leg of the guy he was with. So it's a wonderful story, and it's very encouraging. And millions of people have seen our movies, and they're saying this is the best. And so we're encouraging people to download it. It'll be made freely available on YouTube in about 3 or 4 months. And by the way, our YouTube channel's got over 61 million views at the moment. It's absolutely amazing what's happening.
Yeah, you just lost your reward in heaven, but that's okay. you go out bragging like that.
We can't help it. Every day we're blown away that we have access to literally millions of unsaved people who are watching our video clips, and they're free on YouTube, no advertising. And you think back to the Billy Graham crusade years ago, how that cost millions of dollars, and they got 80,000 people in a stadium. That was just wonderful. And here we are able to preach the gospel to literally millions without the cost or taking 2 years to gather churches together for a combined church crusade like this. So we're just very humbled, and very blown away by what's happening.
So you want people, you want our listeners to do what today?
Yeah, people can go to bananamanstory.com and see the trailer of the movie, and when they download it, they get another movie free and some and study notes that go with it. So that's how we keep our ministry going. People pay to download, and then we make it available freely on YouTube some months later. But that's okay. That's the oil that makes our machine work when Christians do that for us, because it's not cheap to make films.
Amen. Hey, Ray, keep on keeping on, brother. Thanks for being on with us today.
Okay, can I say that website again in case people miss it?
Yeah, go ahead.
Bananamanstory.com. Bananamanstory.com. Hey, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Hold on, Ray. Let me translate that for people. That's bananamanstory.com, right, Ray? Got it?
Banana. I got it.
Okay. All right. Have a good day, brother.
Thanks, guys. God bless. Okay. Bye-bye.
Ray Comfort. Your brother, he lives, eats, breathes evangelism.
Yeah. And he comes up with really clever ideas for these kinds of videos.
Yeah. All right, we got 1 minute left. Chris, you got anything? You got some good news to end the day on?
Well, yeah. Well, let's do this. Things you don't hear or see on CNN. This is a headline from CNN on October 15th, 2018. Write it down. CNN poll. More see Trump win likely as Biden leads crowded Democratic field. This is a CNN poll which finds 46% of people think President Trump will win in 2020, assuming, of course, he faces off against Joe Biden and all the 11 billion Democrats that want to be president.
I think Joe Biden backed out, didn't he?
We'll give it time.
Billion.
Like
did he say he's not running?
I don't know. Seemed like I saw that somewhere today. But also
claims... Well, that's good for Trump because people make fun of him, but I think he would be a tough candidate.
When CNN says this, it's huge.
Huge.
There you go.
Well, thank you, Christopher.
You're
for
welcome.
Your contributions to our program today, Walker.
Yes, sir.
I know you were bored half the show, but I appreciate you hanging in there with us.
That's all right. We can talk more heritage tomorrow.
Your body language right now, Walker, just says, I'm ready to get out of the studio. Ed, thank you for...
How's my body language? Yeah, okay. Boom, let's go.
Thanks.
I'm ready for some more.
Italian Greek fella for being on with us today. Signing off. We'll see you tomorrow, folks.